Hello and welcome to the 61st Planet Destiny podcast. If you're wondering why I'm not excited or as, you know, happy as I usually am during the start, it's because my podcast co-hosts have failed me. Yep, they failed me. 100% complete failure. You guys had that in the bag. You know, getting the teams all set up. And I very vividly remember Tefty going, hey, I really need to, you know, prove something to Blue Weslow. I need
no,
to make sure,
proof.
You know, we
win. I literally
win.
Only wanted to bag him. That was literally the only reason. I wanted
so
to be able to bag him in a
3v3. Tonight in the third podcast showdown, and we lost. Yes, we lost to the Dream Team in an epic battle of sword hilts.
Epic battle of sword hilts. The only way that... The only way that one needs to be defeated by Mr. Fruit is via and Robbie and Blue Weslow's via sword hilts, because you know that we wouldn't have any other way.
So good game to the Dream Team.
Good game.
Once GGs. Again, GGs. Hashtag custom games at Bungie. Please tweet.
I wanted to get, you know, a variety of games in because we have, you know, we wanted to do sweaty rules. I kind of want to do, you know, silly stuff. Cool. Let's go. You know, back and forth. So first game, sweaty, and it was a really good game. You guys were behind at one point. You guys came ahead. You ended up winning, and you guys were feeling good.
Robbie B got a collateral on Briar Knight.
Collateral. That was nasty. That was nasty. Second round. We took suggestions from chat for what we should do for the fun rounds, and No Land Beyond Only was what was one of the suggestions. I don't remember who suggested it. I know there were multiple people. And you guys won that one as well. Pope, having never used No Land Beyond, had a striking number of headshots with it. That was really fun to watch. Yeah, did well. And then the third match was a sweaty match on Black Shield. And, Dream Team just pulled ahead at the very end. That Stormcaller from Blue Weslow did some good work. Fourth match. This is a personal favorite of mine because it teaches a team how to properly move against another team, when to press the advantage, when to disengage. You learn all of these things from the game mode of melee and sidearm only. That was unbelievably close. That was down to one kill at the very end.
It was a close match.
Yep. And at for the fifth match, I didn't think it would get to this. I got my wish and you guys lost. You guys got demolished, annihilated.
That Holtz, hilts only didn't go till the timer, right? They just came in and smashed us.
I mean, I thought it was going to be like a, you know, a Bruce Lee movie or something where, you know, it's just one guy and you guys are doing a bunch of 1v1s. Nope. They basically pulled like a 300 or I don't know what, some other movie where one team just kind of rolls through basically Lord of the Rings, Return of the King, the March of the Rohirrim, and Dream Team were the Rohirrim, and you guys were the orcs.
Well, we have an interesting poll that I put up for the chat. It's GG Dream Team, and the options were to vote for GG Well Played, GG Nice Sword Hilts, or GG Way to Teabag Tefty. And, you know, 75% of our chat approved of Blue Weslow's and the Dream Team's teabagging prowess on you, sir. So,
on me?
Yeah. It's
Although we didn't stick to our original strategy. Going in, I told you guys to teabag Rabby. Just be merciless.
Merciless in the teabag. I remember that.
Yeah. In the teabag.
I bagged Rabby.
And you guys delivered. And notice... That was the game that you guys won. And the other games, we didn't really get any of the bagging in, and I was really relying on that to kind of throw Rabby off tilt.
I was bagging the whole time. I was like casual bagging. I was sideline bagging. I was running up and bagging somebody else's kill. It was a buffet of bagging for me, so I don't know what you guys were doing.
Well, we got to experience got
a whole grocery aisle of tea bags.
The dream bag is what we got. It's trademarked.
Yes.
It's been trademarked. It's called the Dream Bag, and it's three of them rotating between our dead corpses and mercilessly teabagging us. That's called the Dream Bag.
It was good.
It was good. Yeah. It was fun, man. I'm looking forward to the next one. These things are a ton of fun every time we do them. Big ups to the Dream Team this week.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
GG's all around. That was a lot of fun.
Destiny news we want to talk about. You guys want to talk about the audio stream that Bungie had today?
Yeah.
I'd much rather talk about The Division, but okay.
So Bungie did its... Well, they had two parts to the audio stream today. They advertised this about a week, maybe 2 weeks in advance.
Yep.
The first half of the stream was a vid doc, old school Bungie style vid doc stuff.
It was so good.
Stuff we've been watching since like the Halo days, Halo 2 days. I remember watching these things when Halo 2 was like, you know, just a sparkle in Bungie's eye, and that was really cool. They showed a lot of the voice actors doing their thing. They showed the audio team going out to a gun range and firing all the weapons to get sound effects for that. That was a very entertaining. And then they moved on from there, and they did a little couch session, right? Where they had two actors who played voice roles in The Taken King and some before that, as well as a couple of audio engineers. And that was pretty entertaining as well. I found that it was drawn out toward the end, but I'm not as big a fan as watching actors talk about their craft as some are. I tend to actively avoid it, in fact. it breaks the illusion for me when I see how an actor actually behaves in person compared to how I want their character to behave. But it was interesting to see how that stuff comes together. They talked a lot about the future of the Queen, possibly.
Yeah, that was the big thing. Okay, we need to announce a spoiler alert. Just casually slipped it in that the Queen is still alive, and you know she'll probably be coming back.
I don't think they said that specifically. They said there's more story to tell about
the Queen. There's more story to tell about her, and we'll see how the character changes and develops, or something along those lines. I don't have the exact quote because I didn't write it down, but. Yeah, I'm happy because there were talks of possibly space pirates coming in at some point, and I mean I like Metroid. Yeah,
that'd be sick. I figured there's no way that they were gonna kill off the Queen that quick.
Oh no, you know? Yeah.
And it's such a mystery. Character. Yeah, exactly. She's a great character. I'm excited that there's gonna be more. I actually didn't watch the vid doc yet. Because I was sleeping in, so sorry about that.
It's okay. I tried to sleep in today, but that vid doc it got me hyped. It was good. It was really good. So I don't know about you guys, but the one part of the vid doc that I really enjoyed seeing is I kind of like voice acting just a little bit. Was seeing all the different voice actors: Nathan Fillion, Bill Nighy, Morla, Dee Bradley Baker. Just the whole gamut of voice actors and actresses just playing their characters for just the small little sound bites. And I didn't realize that the voice for Xur, the guy was so animated. You think he would be kind of like hunched over or something, but no, this guy was just like in a chair moving his arms all around. It was basically a full acting experience, except you never actually get to see him. You just see Xur in the game. It was really cool.
We also got a couple of matchmaking updates this week. One dropped early in the week, one dropped today, right? Anybody notice any differences?
No comment. No comment. Has anyone actually played Destiny this week?
Yeah, I have.
Okay. Did you please be able to talk about
the matchmaking? I played like one game. That was it.
I did the Arms Day video. That's the only time I logged in.
I didn't play a lot, so I don't feel like I can. I don't feel like I can really say that it mattered extremely. That it was a huge change. I want to play with the settings for another week to really kind of make a judgment on it. I think I didn't get a chance to play today, so I don't know where we are with it.
It's not exactly an Iron Banner week where we're all in the Crucible 24/7. And the Division did just drop this week,
yeah,
which that, if you're a Destiny fan, you've almost undoubtedly been looking forward to for quite some time.
Yeah. Can we just put a rain check on the matchmaking thing? Because
all right,
they're on talking about it.
Yeah.
Because I think all of us played the Division, like all of us.
I'm finding it's much more a solo experience than I expected it to be. Some of that I think is because of the decisions they made. You know, if you're playing and like me and Tefty, say we're best friends, and Tefty's got jumped on a little bit earlier than he did, mm-hmm. and he's a few levels higher than me. Let's say he's an 11 and I'm an 8, and I finally get on. We're playing together and we want to do a mission together. Well, Tefty's doing all the work because I can't even damage those enemies.
Yeah,
you know, like if we jump into a mission and try and play together, it automatically scales whatever mission you're at up to the highest level player, which is a real bummer.
Yeah,
very, very big bummer.
Basically, you have to wait to hit level 30 to kind of equalize all that stuff out, which means that you're going to be playing up through level 30. Well, you can use the in-game matchmaking, but I haven't had success with that. I can talk about that later. Up to level 30 by yourself, but then once you hit level 30, okay, great. Now me and Tefty can play together, but there's no end game.
Yeah.
You can go to the Dark Zone, you can try and grind for loot in the Dark Zone, but there's no PvE end game. There's no raid. There's no, you know, Nightfall equivalent.
Yeah,
there are daily missions you can do to earn Phoenix coins.
That's part of their year-long plan is to basically add more end game content to it. But the game basically launched with no endgame.
Some of it's coming for free. Some of it's going to be paid DLC.
I mean, Destiny technically didn't launch with endgame aside from a Nightfall.
Right. Well,
Vault of Glass didn't come out until 2 weeks after.
Yeah. The Division developers have been pretty cagey about endgame.
Yeah. I'm level 19 now on the PC, and I've approached it as a solo player because a lot of these type of games I enjoy solo first. And then bringing people to have the multiplayer experience because I feel like you get two sides of the game that way. Like I played Borderlands 2 solo. I played even the story of Destiny solo first. And I've been enjoying it, but I think the comparisons to Destiny is very unfair because again, there's no space magic. There's no supers. The gunplay is very different. I think the gunplay is more like Uncharted. And then I think the loot system is more like Diablo, with the crafting and the type of perks. Like you get lifesteal on some of these perks. You get XP bonuses on some of the perks and all that. And also, it's set in New York City, modern day, with like Mission Impossible style gadgets. So it's really unfair to say, hey, is this going to kill Destiny or is Destiny going to kill it or blah, blah, blah. Can they coexist or whatever? It's like, they're different games. You know, they're going to entice different type of people. There's a cross-section of first-person shooter people and RPG people that enjoy that like that center cut. And Destiny has grown that center cut further. And Division is like off to the side in a different area. It's like mostly RPG with third-person shooter. So I've been having fun with it. You know, I don't know if I'm going to enjoy the end game because I haven't gotten there yet.
I will say this, though, Tefty, is that, you know, it does share something in common with... It supposedly shared something in common with Destiny in that you'd be able to go and play PvE cooperatively with your friends. That's, I think, for me, that was the biggest highlight of the game. I was hoping for a big PvE, you know, community shooter or community game where, you know, all those guys that I used to raid with in Destiny, all right, we could get excited for brand new content in this other game. We could play it together. But at least in the leveling up process, it's not that easy to do.
That's too bad. You know what Diablo does is they give you basically fake levels when you're in a party with somebody that has higher levels. So everybody gets matched up to the same level, but the drops for them are the lower level, and there's like a fake inflation of their damage and their health and all that that's averaged out. It's too bad they didn't do that, because then you could.
Yeah, that would have been smart.
Yeah, exactly.
I could see not doing that for the Dark Zone, but at least in the PvE areas.
Yeah, for the missions and all that, leveling through it, yeah.
You know, if I was going to start, if we were a Division podcast and I was starting to critique the game, there's still a lot of room for that game to grow. And you know, I'm sure the guys in their community are really kicking it up and critiquing it, but it is fun. I'm enjoying it, but I will be back to Destiny.
Mm-hmm. I do like playing the PvE. It's fun. I like that New York setting. I like how fleshed out that world is. Like, I'm constantly finding new areas to explore. Like, I'll just run across a manhole cover that's open, go down it, and, like, there's all sorts of stuff down there. You'll walk through an alleyway, and you'll see a door open. You go in and explore an entire building, pull out all sorts of trendy caps and puffy jackets and stuff. You know, like, it's a fun game to explore in, and it looks nice. You know, it just looks gorgeous. And that Darkstone is fun. You know, it's not the Crucible. It's not going to scratch that itch. But it is fun to go in there. It's fun to, you know, become a rogue agent. It's fun to try and get gear out when there are rogue agents around. You know, that it is, there is compelling gameplay there.
Just the shooting mechanics of the Division do not work for me. It's just something about it. The shooting doesn't feel satisfying. I think a lot of it might have to do with just how tanky a lot of the enemies feel. You just end up having to do too much damage to something. And then your shots don't stagger enemies as well. Like, say you land a sniper headshot on a guy that's charging you with a baseball bat, and he just keeps charging at you, and you're like, well, that sucks. Okay. When I moved to Destiny, like, everything feels really, really solid about it.
I feel like I've staggered enemies.
With a shotgun. You can stagger them with a shotgun.
No, I've
you
staggered with a rifle, snipers. Too.
If you use a single-shot rifle, it staggers off.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, see, here's the thing. Right now, what we're experiencing is the mid-game. And in the mid-game of Destiny, there's times where enemies feel like tanks. You know?
That's true. Yeah. That's
and as soon as, you hit, as soon as you hit that end game and you start getting the weapons that actually mean something, a lot of those guys get ripped up really fast. So
yeah.
I think you need to keep that perspective in place of okay, this is what it feels like to be level 15 right now in Destiny. You know, going through some of this content that's maybe a little bit more on the difficult side because you're underleveled a little bit or whatever. And then as soon as you get those rare or the purples and the yellows start dropping, I'm sure the feel like it has to feel different. It has to feel like you're tearing through enemies.
What rank are you right now, Tefty?
I'm just hit 19.
In PvE or PvP?
I've only been doing PvE. I haven't done any Dark Zone because I'm playing solo through the mission or the story first, and then getting squads in together to go and do stuff.
Once you hit level 30, it unlocks the challenge mode for all the missions. So right off the bat, there's regular mode, there's hard mode. Once you hit level 30, there's a challenge mode that unlocks, and there's better loot rewards. But you go right back to having those tanky enemies.
I think the Division suffers from their boss fight mechanics, very similar to early Destiny. It's not very engaging for me that way. I gotta tell you, I didn't find any of the boss fights so far to be of a tier where I said, well, that was fun, you know?
Yeah. They don't look any different, too. All the enemies kind of look the same. They do some different stuff. Like, some of them will run at you with a hatchet or with a baseball bat. Some of them will sit back with a sniper rifle. But they all kind of look the same. So there's not a whole lot of variety there.
The sniper looks like a hunter in Destiny. You see that with the
hood? Oh, yeah. The guy with the poncho.
Yeah.
I saw him earlier.
Yeah, I was like, that's a hunter.
And one of the things I think that's going to keep me at Destiny is I enjoy the concept of a sci-fi shooter. I like the creativity of being able to make up guns and come from different places in sci-fi lore. And it's just fun to be in that environment where the sky's the limit, right? You can create your own physics.
Yeah, but there's still creativity that can be at play there. With the crafting system, you could be crafting weapons that nobody's... Not every gun has to be an M1, A1, or a SCAR, or an M4. You've got a crafting system. Let us craft something that's totally ridiculous. All the enemies... So we're doing humans, but some of these guys could be huge, hulking, steroid-ridden monsters, and other guys could be these little skinny, crafty guys that kind of run around peeking behind corners all the time. You know, there is some variety in human form. I think they could have embraced that a little bit more. I feel like I'm bagging on the game an awful lot. It's a game I do enjoy. You know, I've been enjoying my time with it. It's just a little... I've had a few disappointments with it, mainly around the multiplayer aspects.
I think it's understandable, too.
There were some issues with networking,
the launch was very rocky.
Yeah,
launch was very rocky.
For the first 30 minutes, do is queue up in line to activate your agent.
3 hours?
Did you guys hit this?
There's I cut that line.
Waiting in a room trying to try to use one laptop.
Yeah, and it was bugged.
How is this the first thing you do?
Yeah, I got into a lobby where it was bugged and it wouldn't activate at all, so I had to log out and re-log in.
It wasn't bugged. It was just you're waiting for it to like become available.
No, for me, like it would actually get to the terminal and he'd get in the keyboard and do the and then nothing would happen.
Exactly.
And you're waiting because
it was so busy. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
So you had to re-log into a server that hopefully didn't have as many people in it.
Exactly, yeah.
The thing that I'm having the most fun with is the dark zone and running in with teams of, you know, with my squad and just ruining people, you know? That's what I enjoy. It's like, it's so, like, there's a PvE component if you're not familiar with the game and you're just, you know, been living under a rock, right? I'm just kidding. But if there's a PvE component, and I think the enemies in the dark zone are more interesting to me than the ones outside. So they're harder, they're more, you know, aggressive. And dark zone is kind of divided up in different regions based on how your level is. And I'm a level, I want to say 18 in the dark zone right now. I'm sitting there and, you know, you sit there and as a group, as a team, and you're waiting for somebody to come to one of those evacuation areas and put up a flare. And then you just time it so that you snag their stuff, you know, kill them, snag their stuff, put it on the rope. And by the time they've spawned in and are coming back to challenge you, their stuff is gone. And so it's kind of messed up, but it's a lot of fun. And I was with a group of four, and we went rogue for almost an hour, where we were just stayed rogue, and people kept challenging us in the map to kill us. And I think it's a lot of fun, but it's not enough there. I want to see them display some cool weekly events and monthly events to see if they can make it more interesting.
Not me, Pope. I'm going in there. I'm trying to help people tie their shit to the ropes.
Oh, you are not.
I'm trying. Oh no, man. Like if people are having a tough time with some of those purple enemies, I'm in there. I'm like, hey, man, you need a pat on the back. I'm there for you. Let me load up your gun for you. Let me grease that barrel. Come on, man. I got your back.
Sure. You know what I do is I start shooting the purple enemy so that they get this confidence that I'm like, oh, they're working with me, right? And then I wait for them.
I'm just playing mind games.
Then I wait for them.
You are literally a troll, man.
Right. And then I wait for them to throw a grenade at an enemy because, you know, right. And so then I run out to the enemy and I get hit by the grenade and that turns them into being rogue. And there you go. Turn around and kill them.
But the real question, though, here is, has your Destiny RNG moved with you to the Division? That's the real question.
I did get a
what kind of loot
I did get
a
purple drop at level 15. So just I'm not buying my stuff. It's all drops. So I'm all blue equipment right now, and I've got a purple shotgun, a double barreled shotgun. It's freaking awesome. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'm getting good drops, but I can't tell if it's above the board or not. There's not that same excitement to like in Destiny where you got the Galahorn or I'm gonna stop comparing the two, but a lot of people who know me as a player of Destiny, they really want my opinion on like, well, does the Division stack up to it? And you know, but it has
question we're seeing in chat constantly.
Yeah.
When we stream.
That's true. And So has my RNG transferred over? I think it has, and especially when my RNG can include stealing other people's good luck.
One day in Destiny.
It's actually really fun because you can, if you go in with a good squad, man, you can go rogue and just, whoo, man.
I cannot wait for the day that your RNG finally runs out in Destiny and... You know, your inventory is a barren wasteland, and all that you have to enjoy is dust and ash.
Barren wasteland.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'm
hoping
that
player trading comes along.
And there it is.
You're going to remember all the supportive things I had to say.
That's
about
right,
you.
Briar. I no. If you could just,
I don't want I your might, damn charity poke.
I might just
you
send
remember
you a
the
message,
time the Briar greased your barrel in the dark zone.
I might just send you a message, Briar, that hey, I have 12, you know, 1,000-yard stares. You can pick which one you want, and then I'll just give it to you.
Thanks, Pope.
Yeah,
you're the best.
Yeah, thanks. Patrick's not going to get a single one though.
I don't want your charity. I'm an adult.
Does that conclude our The Division podcast number one?
Everyone, welcome to the Planet Division podcast. This is episode number one, and that was the end of it. If you want to find us, go to planetdestiny.com, as we have not filed for a new domain name.
Hey, and I don't think we will, because as soon as content drops for Destiny, my ass is back here playing it.
I also have zero desire to make any content at all for that game. It just, I don't enjoy it the way I enjoy Destiny. I think it just comes down to the shooting mechanics for me. It's just not, it doesn't feel
satisfying.
I don't
have a problem with the, you're not as connected as a character. Obviously, the difference between third person and first person is you're not, you know, you don't feel like you're actually firing a gun, but I don't have a problem too much with the weapons. I like that there's a ton of recoil, so you feel like you got to control them. Well, until you get them upgraded.
Just get an LMG, and then the first five shots of it are kind of wonky, but then after that, it gets more stable as you shoot it.
I'm surprised to hear that, because I've been all over the single-shot sniper-type
rifles.
Oh,
my goodness, Briar. Like, I have a blue M60 that has 100 rounds in the magazine, and you're just like... It's just insane.
The LMGs with 100 rounds feel really good for all the bullet sponges in that game.
Oh, just beautiful.
It's like, okay, cool. I can just unload
just
and not care.
These guys down.
Yep.
I'm with Briar on this, but maybe it's because I've been playing solo. And being solo, you get to pick your encounters very specifically. So you can just take cover.
Have to pick your encounters.
Like, try to do some quick scopes. And quick scoping in it is actually kind of fun to try to do that. I've been enjoying getting a bunch of those marksman rifles and swapping out. I got a fast fire rate one, which was a lot of fun, even though it burns through ammo. I feel like I'm using a scout rifle. Impact.
Yeah. I don't mean to cut you off, but we should probably end the Planet Division podcast and move on to Destiny. So what was this rumor that was floating around, Briar? Because, we have no real news. That weekly update comes out tomorrow.
So. This was interesting. I can't remember. I'm trying to actually find the story, but my browser locked up and everything's crashing up. Because the Nintendo NX is going to be launching with a Pokemon game, Activision is very interested in bringing Destiny 2, they call it Beyond Destiny, to the Nintendo NX. And not only that, but they plan on bringing Destiny in whatever form it sits in at the beginning of 2017 to the Nintendo NX as well.
They also mentioned something else in that rumor, and they said that it was going to be holiday season of 2017 of when Beyond Destiny shows up for the NX. Now, we don't know whether or not that's like across the board. Beyond Destiny is 2017 holiday, because largely Nintendo consoles get AAA titles after Xbox and PlayStation. So,
you know, that's like a broad launch. Apparently in chat, someone says that rumor was debunked.
Part of it was debunked.
Yeah. What part of it was?
Irk came out on Twitter and said, you know, he made kind of a joke about the Beyond Destiny part of it.
Uh-huh.
Right? But, I mean, Beyond Destiny, that wasn't the part of the rumor that was juicy, right? The part of the rumor that's juicy.
Was the NX.
Destiny coming to the NX. Destiny 2 coming to the NX. The timeline of Destiny coming in early 2017. What's that mean for the timeline of Destiny 2? That's the juice in that rumor. Like, I could care less what Destiny 2 is called.
Yeah. I don't think it will come out for the NX. Why would you make it come out for a Nintendo... Spend all the time developing it for a Nintendo console, which statistically, like, it feels like that's just a waste of development time when there's this other faction of gamers called PC gamers that have been kind of not foaming at the mouth, but they are very interested in having Destiny on the PC, and that seems like a much wiser investment than, say, developing a title for the NX.
It It might not necessarily come out of Bungie's pocket, though. It might be Nintendo.
You get a third party to do it.
Exactly, yeah. Nintendo might be the third party, or hiring a third party that takes all the assets and turns it into an NX version, so Bungie doesn't have to handle it.
And it could very much be a Nintendo pays Activision to do this kind of deal.
Yeah.
Like, they're launching a new console next year. Like, that's or this year. That's happening, right? We're going to hear about this thing at E3. It's going to be out holiday 2017. They want big games on this console.
Maybe we'll be hearing it at E3 if it's still around. Companies are leaving E3 in droves.
I mean, I noticed that.
And it's like some big name announcements.
So regardless of E3 getting, whether or not E3 is going to happen, but there, whatever the news timeline happens of when a big announcement happens for the NX, it does make sense that they see Destiny making huge splashes in gaming and then saying, we need Destiny on the new Nintendo console to bring in some of those people, you know, some of those hardcore gamers.
I mean, it makes sense to me for Activision to do it, right? You know, especially if Nintendo is incentivizing that kind of activity. It also, you know, if Nintendo comes out and releases a more powerful system, it could be the best version of Destiny that's available. It could be the best version of Destiny 2 that's available. And that's compelling. It's a compelling rumor. I don't know if it's true. It's compelling, though.
Nintendo knows they have to make changes. And they've had some pretty serious problems in the past, like with the YouTube thing. And They're learning. They're looking to grow out of what they are right now. So if they do make a new console that's better than the current, better than the PS4 and the Xbox One, and then say, guess what? You can also play a better version of Destiny on it. I mean, from a marketing perspective, that could be major.
Any other news today? We got anything else we want to talk about today?
The weekly update did not come out today because I imagine Deej was busy doing the thing today.
It will be out tomorrow.
The audio thing. Yeah, they said they'll come out tomorrow, where they'll go over what they did in the live stream and then probably not have any news because when they said they'll be ready to announce news when they're ready. So yeah, so I imagine like 6 weeks from now, we should be getting content-ish. This is just me bullshitting. I have no sources or anything on it.
I could see them announcing it early. But then actually starting like to show it in their live streams like 3 weeks out, kind of like what they did with House of Wolves.
That's why.
So I wouldn't be surprised if they announced it, you know, this week, next week, the week after, any time now, really. You know, gave us the name, gave us a couple of juicy hints.
And if a big part of their marketing is pushing out the new content with streaming it and promoting it, and they want to do it again that way, and this time do it better, right? With this new studio, I think you're gonna see it. You're gonna see it here. You're gonna see them do it, and it's gonna be announced on the live stream and broadcast that way. So it's gonna be pretty cool.
Before we move on, Patrick, I want to address this real quick. One thing we forgot to mention about the live stream that they did today was that they actually introduced a sub button on.
Yeah, that's actually what I was channel. Getting. That's what I was getting ready to say.
And they changed the chat about halfway through the broadcast to sub only mode.
Yep.
So we were actually hosting. We were hosting a chat on Planet Destiny, so I didn't actually go over there and see what happened to the. To the chat once they went to sub-only mode.
I had it pulled up, and it wasn't, like, chill, because there are so many subscribers. But, like, I mean, it was sure shit civil. I'll tell you that. I subbed. Nice. I think one of our mods, T.H. Koner, put it out on Twitter. He's like, hey, they have a sub button. I was like, oh, cool. Go in there.
Yeah, he called it before the show even started. He's like, they have a sub button. They're going to change that chat to sub-only. Guys, want to do some Twitter questions?
Yeah, I mean, it's a slow week for news, so we can go ahead and move to Twitter questions right now.
Yep.
All right, Jason Verley at My Geek Dad, I like that name. Which raid are you most looking forward to, and one change you would want to see in that raid? Oh, I'm sorry. Assuming year one raids come to year two, which raid are you most looking forward to, and one change you want to see in that raid?
Vault of Glass, seventh chest.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, I mean, that's a no-brainer, right? Nobody's going to pick Crota's End here.
Yeah.
I'll pick Crota's End. Fuck it.
Yeah, but you're lying to us.
How would you change it? How would you change it, Holtz?
fix like the being able to solo it for the most part, like being able to jump across the bridge and everything.
No warlocks are allowed.
I don't know. Fix those mechanics and then make people actually do that bridge encounter, because it's, I don't know, it's one of those things that really forces everyone to play together, but then also count on themselves as a player.
Yeah.
I like that fight when you do it properly. Yeah.
Agreed. It's a fun encounter.
Yeah. Or just make it easier to solo, because, yeah. One of the two. Make the dial go harder or easier. Just change the dial.
Do you guys want to see Taken stuff in there? In either raid?
No, I want to see the next thing. Whatever the next thing is, right? We've defeated Oryx. We've defeated Taken. I want to see the next thing.
Yeah, let's see the next thing.
So I'm not assuming that we're going to get some sort of story progression in spring. Like, do you guys actually think they're going to have, like, a meaty piece of story?
Yeah, they're going to have PvE content. That's story.
I think there's going to be something. It's not going to be something big, I don't think, but they're probably going to be setting something up for the next DLC that's down the road.
Okay.
So, yeah.
If they're going down that path, then it would be awesome if they actually extended Crota's End. Like, maybe... Nah, well, this would be like a whole nother raid, but if you started or you ended after killing Crota's End, and then there was a raid beyond that, maybe you go through it in reverse and there's new bosses.
Maybe you have to escape the pit.
Yeah, escape the pit. That would be really fun.
There you go.
I did not think that they were going to like really push the story forward. That's interesting.
I don't think it's going to be a huge push forward. We might learn the whereabouts of the queen or something. I mean, the voice actress was in the studio today, even though I doubt they would actually do work, and she's local to Seattle, so she can come in at any time and do work. We probably will see some like fleshing out of the Queen's storyline some, and then that will set up for, you know, what's going to happen next. So we know the Queen's alive, and she's ready to start whooping ass now that Oryx is gone. So yeah. I don't know. Maybe her getting affected by the Taken blast or something, you know, changed her, and now the Queen is going to be like a frenemy. She's still your friend, but now she wants to conquer more or something. I don't know.
Wait, you're saying that she's the Taken Queen?
Oh yeah,
that'd be awesome. Yeah, I'm just not setting myself up to then get disappointed.
Setting the bar low. I'm setting it
low for me right now. I'm being like, oh my god, you repainted things. Wow.
Good job. Oh, there better be like double the weapons that we have now if there's going to be a big content drought, and make that shit drop like candy. Like,
yes. You know,
fuck PvE content, fuck new PvP content, I don't care. Just make the drops more, and so then I can make this shoot-to-loot game actually have loot in
it. Yes.
Thanks. And then Poke can also, you know, then start a hourly blog of his new 1,000-yard stare roll or whatever.
Yeah, he's going to start a blog called the 1,000-yard stare, where it's just him staring at you while he looks at his inventory.
I like it. Sysid at Noah Yoder, do you think we'll get the brand new exotics in the database as well as some old ones brought to year two? What would you want?
Yes.
We definitely think we're going to get the exotics in the database, right?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, we might not get them all. We might have to wait till fall to get some of them, but we're going to get them eventually.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
they're probably going
to, you
know,
we're definitely going to get all the year one weapons moved up to year two. We know that's going to happen. So, well, yeah.
Except for Gjallarhorn, right? Wasn't there specific notes about Gjallarhorn? Yeah. I thought there was something about, like, in a Game Informer article about how that wasn't going to come until, like, year three or something.
Oh,
a refresh.
I don't remember them saying anything like that, but my memory isn't as good as it could be. Kevin Jones at No Mention of Kev, what would your ideal weapon patch notes for the next update be? Mine would be more flinch on sniper rifles.
Mm.
Oh, yeah. Did you guys see that tweet I put out this week?
Which one?
It was last week during Burning Shrine, and I had a rough day with matchmaking, but like the crowning thing that happened was I like got in front of this sniper who was fusion rifle range from me, and I just unload into him with a Grasp of Malak, and his health I get his health down from being fully shielded to like a third red, and then he just domes me.
And
I was like, wait, what? And you know, you put it up on Twitter, and it's like, can we start a conversation about this, please? And we had a lot of really interesting things. I think maybe adding like a de-scope mechanic to snipers. If you get hit, to instead of increasing flinch, because there's like this massive RNG thing of, yes, it can quote unquote take skill to control it, but no. There's so much RNG that like I will try to control it, and then I'll not hit them, or I'll just fire off a shot anyway, and the recoil will make it hit them anyway. I think adding a de-scope mechanic after a certain amount of damage is taken while scoped.
Would that go forward into PvE as well, or would it just be a PvP thing?
I feel like it needs to be a PvP thing, just a PvP thing.
Because that would stink to have that mechanic in PvE.
I completely agree. Like, they do that in Halo, and it made snipers relatively balanced in Halo. If you get shot and you're de-scoped, you're at a disadvantage. And I think it would fix quite a bit of, like, the... just the hard scope city that happens constantly. At least there's a chance if you do get a spray off with like the Grasp, or you get a might have multi-tool shot off, then there's a chance that they're not going to be able to dome you immediately. So
the other change for weapons, I don't know what the specific changes would entail, but I want primaries to be more relevant. And I think at this point you can't really change specials that much. Specials aside from like sniper flinch, I feel like they're relatively balanced. The reason you're seeing so much special usage is because 99% of the primaries out there are just so underwhelming to use.
Yeah, they need to up that KD.
Yeah,
or the time to kill. They need to lower the time to kill. They need a faster time to kill on primary weapons.
Not too much faster. We're not advocating for like Call of Duty levels. 0.2
seconds improvement, I think.
Yeah,
across the board, except for like the stuff that's already a holdout, like. Obviously, we don't want faster time to kill on...
No, I think Last Word needs a faster time to kill completely. Being able to two-tap someone while hip-firing is wonderfully balanced, I guess.
But, like, most weapons right now are balanced around, like, a one-second time to kill. And there's outliers like the Mita Multitool, the Last Word, stuff like that. But if you lowered, like, the average weapon to about a 0.8-second time to kill, you're going to find them be much more competitive.
Yeah. You'll be able to challenge a sniper. You'll be able to... I don't know.
And you'll have much more variety in the weapons you could bring into the Crucible.
Exactly. You wouldn't see the same four primaries and people going, oh, he's just using that, he's a tryhard. No, it's just the only thing that's worth using right now. I'd love to use my full auto-fire Suros DIS-43, but I'm sorry, Mita Multitool kills in the same number of headshots. I'm going to use Mita.
Yeah. Sir Please, what do you think they should do to Arcblade to make it actually get kills? Nothing. Those guys had their day in the sun. It's over. Titan Master Race. Moving on.
Fix the hit registry.
Fix the Solar Titan.
I think the proper way to address the Arcblade is to nerf fusion rifles more, I think. I think that would probably...
They'd probably do it.
Yeah,
they might just need to take that out of the game completely. Right?
Wouldn't have connected those two dots, but as soon as you said it, I knew it was right.
It's just booms. Oh, yeah, no, this is true.
It's just blur at this point.
In reality, they need to fix the hit registration. The few times I've gone Blade Dancer just to try it out, it's like, okay, I slash at a guy, and they just kind of float up into the air or move backwards, and it's like, what?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's weird, right? Because that didn't happen in year one that I can remember.
Not at all.
They nerfed the lunge range of the Blade Dancer from like 7 meters to like 2 or something. I don't remember what the exact number changes were. I shouldn't spit those out until
I actually feel like the lunge range right now feels okay. It's just that when I feel like I connect, it ought to get the kill.
It could feel, it could go a little bit longer. I think. Not not to what it was in year one, but certainly not as bad as it is now. There's a happy medium, I feel like, they need to find.
Yep. Yeah. There's definitely something wrong. And yeah, it's, they got to, whatever they did to the code, they got to dig in and see what's going on with those hit registrations. Because honestly, if the hit registration was okay, I think it would actually be pretty balanced.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, it'd be it good.
Would, it'd be in a good spot, yeah.
I think they've done some good changes to it.
Clifton Ampadensa at Cliff Kwame. How much do you think about the average player when forming opinions? I assume he's talking about for YouTube videos and stuff like that.
Actually, all of my videos are entirely informed around the average player. I know it seems like I'm only trying to appeal to people that play the game a shit ton, but basically, I'm going to tell you as an average player, it's not worth the limited time you probably play the game to try and, you know, use hard light, because there's better stuff out there, and despite it, you know, shooting really cool lasers, that doesn't really kill enemies that well. The average player is, you know, our viewer base. All of every single thing that I put out is directed towards the average player. So
for me, it's less than that. There's definitely some stuff I do that's really centered around the average player. If I talk about a weapon review or like Shard It or Keep It, you know, I'm talking about a weapon that the language there is aimed at somebody who doesn't know anything about that weapon, right? Mm-hmm. But when I'm talking about like strategies for beating Oryx on hard mode, on challenge mode, there's 5% of the community that's actually ever going to see that, right? So I'm using language that those people are going to know and understand. I'm not thinking about the average player. So It really depends on what I'm talking about.
Yeah, anytime I've done reviews, I'm always thinking about, like what Pat is saying, the average player and how long it's going to take them to do. Yeah, like you said, acquire this weapon, and is it worth it? Is the payoff there? And then balance that with also the average player's skill as well. And thinking like, Last Word is great. Hmm? Yeah, like Last Word is great, but if you have a tough time with aiming and doing single fire shots, you know, like keeping that stuff in mind with reviews is where I think it's important.
I don't like assuming what a player knows, but when I do a review, I'm going to try to assume that you know basic mechanics of the game. I don't like taking every single video, you know, I think I used to show like exactly how many shots it takes to kill for bodies and then headshots and PvP, and at one point, I'm just going to assume that you know how to hit the pause button on YouTube and do very basic math.
Yeah, I'll tell you what the time to kill is, but I'm not going to explain what time to kill is.
I'll give you an example of what the average time to kill is. Also, like, I kind of have to think about, if they're an average player, they may not, or basically, a very skilled player doesn't need me to tell them that hard light isn't the best thing to use in PvP. The skilled player knows that through, you know, their experience playing the game, what they like using. They have a developed play style, I'm sure. If I feel that there's something I need to say to a more skilled player in a review, I'll try to, you know, say that, hey, for the skilled players out there, you actually might try incorporating it this way into your play style, but I try to keep everything average.
Eric Blaise at BlaiseEW. What's missing from the Foundry weapon type combo would make you most excited from a design perspective? So I think he's looking for what are the missing weapons from the Foundry weapons that would really get you excited. He lists off the Omalon LMG for him. For me, it'd be a Suros sniper. I think that could be really cool.
Omalon pulse rifle.
Omalon pulse rifle could be cool too. Yeah.
Suros hand cannon. Hake machine gun. Hake rocket launcher.
I feel like a Hake machine gun would be the zombie apocalypse.
Yes.
You know?
Right? Real talk though, a Suros sniper is definitely what I'm excited about.
That'd be cool.
Yep. Drinking all this water to get my salt content down from that.
the zombie apocalypse reference. Good thing Pope's gone for that.
Yeah. Steven Gulsby at Niv Biscuit. Without including power level, what's your favorite gun in Destiny? So all-time favorites. What is it?
All-time favorite was Fatebringer because it was the first time experiencing just instant headshot explosions on any enemy that I shot because of so much impact from it.
And then you reload it with that outlaw perk and you're like, holy shit.
God, it was so good. It was a glory. Nice. So good.
Icebreaker.
Icebreaker was fun. We ran through the Vault of Glass this weekend together, and I actually did it again on stream, and we decided to use all Vault of Glass weapons for the raid.
Huh?
And I used Fatebringer, and I fell deeply in love with that gun again. I was using it today, like on regular story missions. It's just so fun.
It's awesome.
Like, heads are popping like crazy, explosions everywhere. Your reload is fast as hell. I love that gun.
Yeah, they peaked. Yeah. They peaked really high with that weapon.
Yeah.
It sounds like Pope's using the microwave in the background.
Pope is microwaving a dinner right now.
I'm hungry too, man.
I'm going to cook a hamburger after this podcast. It's going to be delicious.
Nice.
Two hamburgers.
Anthony Guta at Fearless Flyer 3. What are your guys' thoughts on adding a perk to raid armor to lower the cooldown of your ammo sense? I like this perk. This sounds fun to me. So you could get a perk that lowers the cooldown, so you can use heavy every 4 minutes instead of every 5 minutes.
That's interesting, yeah. That'd be cool. If we have another, like, Crota's End type of situation, where your heavy was so important to kill Crota, to take down the shield on Crota, then that would definitely be interesting. Yeah, I'd like to see it as a random perk on, like, arms or something.
Yeah, that would be cool, yeah. I like that a lot. Unfortunately, I think I'd probably want it most when I'm first starting the raid. Once I actually got it, the loot from the raid, I probably wouldn't need it anymore.
Yeah.
I apologize that I had to step away. My neighbor was pounding on my door. I guess apparently they lost an animal, so.
I thought they needed they needed a cup of sugar or something.
Yeah.
There you go.
Lost
Matthew
animal.
Kirby Sorry. At Kirby Matt. Descoping upon taking damage was mentioned last week. Any ideas why Bungie didn't include that mechanic in Destiny? I really think it's because they want weapons to feel the same in PvE as they do in PvP, and descoping in PvE would suck.
Yeah.
Agreed.
Yeah.
That's the big challenge.
It'll break a lot.
The big challenge, and you can't do a descoping like descopes when taking, when, you know, something about minions in the dark. You can't really change that to make it make sense in PvP and PvE. So, but I would like them to have flinching.
Yeah. More flinching.
More flinching. And have unflinching.
I think that
mean
works
something.
In PvE too. Paul Pisagno at Pisagno Paul. DC or Marvel?
Marvel. Marvel.
I mean, those Batman movies were good though.
They were, but, I mean, Iron Man, you know.
Marvel's kicking ass right now.
Thor.
I don't know. DC's has always been about, like, the person behind the superhero more than the superhero itself, I think. So, yeah. I prefer the DC characters, but, I mean, Marvel has been fucking killing it recently with everything. And
Yeah. I'm with Marvel on this one.
I don't read the comics, so
I don't read it either.
Yeah, but I know that DC, those Batman movies were good. This new Batman vs. Superman looks interesting, but to be honest, the best movie I've seen lately that's comic book based is Guardians of the Galaxy, and it was the best by a long shot.
I would say Deadpool was way better.
I haven't seen Deadpool yet.
Oh,
Deadpool was so good.
Well, when you see it, let me know if you revise that statement.
All right, we'll do.
Deadpool was fantastic. I don't think Guardians of the Galaxy like was better, worse than it though.
I don't think it's. I wouldn't use the word worse. If I was to rank it,
like,
I would put Deadpool above Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah, they're like different. They're different. Like, one was rated R, potentially mature, you know, and the other is more of a romp through the galaxy. Like, it's almost like comparing Division to Destiny. Like,
excuse me, Guardians of the Galaxy should have been rated R. Did you see Chris Pratt's body? Nah, that is. Oh my god, that's too good. Too good.
Did you see how naked Groot was the whole time?
I know.
That's
I know.
True. It's
sickening.
That's not sickening. A lick of clothing through the whole movie.
They didn't even bother to put a leaf to cover it.
Mm-hmm. Not even a leaf. Both that great movies.
Carry a stick.
No, they're both great movies. But if you weren't allowed to say they were both good, and you had one movie that you could watch before you died, and you had to pick one of the two of those movies, which one would you put above it?
Oh man,
I haven't seen Deadpool, but I can tell you I've seen Guardians of the Galaxy about 20 times.
Guardians of the Galaxy is a great romp. Like it's awesome fun. Through the galaxy.
Is that opening scene where he's dancing to that Redbone song?
Mm-hmm.
Oh my god, I love it.
Yeah, Deadpool's awesome too, but it was very like focused story in like a confined area. You know, I don't.
I am going to tell you that I disagree with you right now, Tefty. I'm sticking to my Deadpool is better than Guardians.
Awesome. Fantastic.
Both of them are Marvel movies, though, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Marvel's
so Marvel
killing
wins,
it. Yeah.
Hands down. I think across the board.
No, but yeah, I really left Guardians of the Galaxy with a huge smile on my face saying, man, I hope we get more superhero movies like this. And
I was saying, I hope they can make a Star Wars movie as good as this because it felt like watching a Star Wars movie for the first time. Justin, go ahead. Or not. No, Justin Hendrick, at Hendrick Justin. Do you guys think that more exotic should be like Tlaloc, meaning you sacrifice your super or another ability to use it?
I like what Tlaloc does, where it makes you have a certain playstyle, or it makes you give something up for something else. Like, you're making a really hard choice when using it. And I like it in regard in that it's a similar weapon to Monte Carlo in that it allows you to really build this playstyle around it. Like you're gonna get more talents that affect your melee and grenades because you're just not gonna care about your super as well with that one. I like more exotics like Tlaloc. I just wish they wouldn't. As simple as, hey, doing this will make you do more damage. I feel like that's a kind of a lazy thing to design. But, yeah.
Dubhead Gaming at Dubhead Gaming. Would you guys like to see a heal replace a melee in Destiny 2? It'd be interesting for PvE. I don't think I'd want it in PvP. Well, maybe I would want it in PvP. It'd be an interesting choice.
I think the way the game is currently set out, no, I don't think I'd like to see that. Would every subclass have it? Or would every class have access to a heal? I'd need more information. Or I'd need more stuff to go on than that. But no, just... I don't like the idea of it right now.
I like
it's an interesting thought.
I like the idea. I really feel that we should see more support classes, and I'd love to see a warlock support class.
That would change warlocks. They'd actually be useful in the current raid, and it would be incredible dynamic changer in PvP. Like it would change the game incredibly. I would at least. I'd like to think about it a little bit, at least.
I wanted to see. I was hoping that the third class, the warlock class coming out, was going to be a support class. But it,
or like you could activate your Stormcaller super on top of someone, and it would like defibrillate them, and they're dead, and they come back to life.
Hey, but actually, you know what? The Sunsinger is technically a war. I think it was originally designed to be a support class, but it just never made it there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh well, in like the pre-beta footage or like the kind of the beta footage that we saw a Sunsinger use their self-res, and it also caused everyone that was dead around them to resurrect as well.
Oh my god, that would have been huge in a raid.
That might have been a little bit broken, just a little bit. Yeah. So imagine right a, yeah, imagine yeah. a team full of Sun Singers in Trials of Osiris, and then you kill all of them, and then he rezzes, and they're all, and then you kill all of them again, and then another one rezzes, and you kill them, and another one rezzes, and yeah, that would get fun.
That would the problem be so is, awful. Right,
in the raid, though, is like, a warlock has no benefits to the rest of the team, right? The only thing they could do is not die, right? You know, if they die, they could res themselves. That's like their only benefit to the raid right now. It'd be nice if they had like a healing mechanic or something.
That would be really cool. Or the ability to toss the res to somebody else.
You know? Yeah, that'd be cool.
Yeah.
You know, especially in a hard mode raid where you can't revive people.
Yeah, if warlock can pull a person back to res, even if it's in hard mode. They don't have to wait. They could pop their super, and that super when they ran over somebody would res them, but it wouldn't without you wouldn't have to wait for the timer.
That'd be amazing. Jess at Jesse J Mua, do you prefer Dinglebot or Nolanbot, and why?
Nolanbot. Because he's not freaking annoying.
Still can't open a goddamn door, though.
Yeah, you know what? Dinklebot was annoying to me. And, you know, I think it was because, honestly, it broke the what is it called? The fourth wall or what? It broke the character for me because he was so inconsistent with his reading of the lines that it like, I don't feel like the character carried through the game. And I don't know, I'm not saying that's his fault, because we all know the story of how the game was chopped up and you know all this stuff. I'm not saying it's his fault, but the way that it came through in the game to me ripped me out of the story.
It's also you're using such a prominent actor, you know, I kept hearing Tyrion Lannister, you know, talking to me with a like slightly garbled electronic modifier on the voice. The other thing
is worse in the beta. It wasn't even garbled.
It was just Tyrion Lannister. If my new character who just got resurrected, it would be nice if the ghost would have some urgency in his voice when he said, "Oh shit, we've woken the hive." And because at this point in the game, my character doesn't really know about the hive, and it'd be like, "Wait, should I be worried that we've woken?"
I agree with you, and that's that one line wasn't delivered well. But if we're gonna start trading lines between who did better lines,
no.
I mean, I could start a list of about 50 lines that Dinklebot destroyed. You know, like that.
But
they've been seeding Earth for centuries, waiting for their gods to return.
Waiting for their gods to return. Oh my gosh! You know, it's like, come on. Jesus Christ.
Okay, hearing that, but the things that you hear on a daily basis, like for instance, Guardian down. That kind of bugs me. I kind of wish I heard Dinklebot say Guardian down when I'm in the Crucible. Like, I heard it on a video recently,
Dinklebot is hipster? Like, it's retro, it's the original, so that's the one that will always hold dear in our hearts?
I don't know. I mean, there was something like really nostalgic hearing him say, Guardian down, Guardian down, Guardian down, instead of Guardian down. I don't know. He seems like Nolanbot's a little chipper when he says Guardian down.
Like, I'm like, happy about it?
Yeah, he's like, Guardian down, let's go get some coffee. I'm like, we're in the middle of a battle.
This is serious, dude. No, it's not.
Yeah.
It's just a video game. Joe Mitchell at Matter Splatter. What ship do you currently use, and what ship is your favorite?
I love the Iron Banner ship.
I do too, and I don't have one. I think it's my favorite Pope.
Yeah.
You have it?
Oh, yeah. I got it like the second
match.
Of course he has it. I got it on the second match of Iron Banner, and it dropped. It was crazy.
I rotate between the Black Spindle ship, Vienna Singer, whatever it's called, and Catch Me If You Can. And then on the Xbox, I rock the New Monarchy ship because I like the look of it.
Oh, yeah, that is good.
I got the Dead Orbit ship from Year One. I love that ship still. It's just a cool looking ship, all white out. I also have this ship that I can't remember the name of, but it's got like this X-wing look to it. It's a blue and red ship that's got kind of like the wings are kind of in an X shape, and it reminds me of Star Wars, so I like that ship a lot too.
Nice.
The Oryx ship is one of my favorites. The Oryx challenge mode one.
Oh, yeah.
Also, the Vienna Singer, the one from the Black Spindle Daily. I really, really like that one. I like the lights on the side. Reminds me of some of the stuff from Planet Side.
And if we're going to list an additional like ships, you know, the one from the Queen, I really like that design.
The
Dolphin?
Yeah, yeah. I love that
the
one.
Space
too,
Dolphin?
Yeah, I like the way that the skin crawls. You know, the shimmers, it has a different effect to it. I feel like they could have done more with the paint jobs of these. Well, they could have done more with ships in general, but yeah, so I like that it has a shimmering, crawling effect to the skin.
That is cool.
Mm-hmm.
Robbie Vallone at rvallone55. What's your favorite candy bar, guys?
Snickers.
Reese's?
I
like Reese's peanut butter cups.
Oh, peanut butter.
That's Reese's peanut butter cup is not a candy bar.
It's not a candy bar.
It is a candy disc.
Fail.
It is next to the candy bars.
It is
all the time.
So is bubblegum.
It is not.
You wouldn't call that a candy bar?
Okay, look at the definition. A bar of candy. I mean, they didn't say a disc of candy.
Technically, it's two, like, you know.
Two discs. All right,
fine. There, Reese's makes a candy bar now. I'll just say that one.
What is it? Reese's
candy. I don't remember the name of it. I've had it a couple times.
The Butterfinger. I mean, that flaky, wafery.
Butterfinger's delicious, too.
Butterfinger's trash. Get out of here.
You
Milky
are,
Way.
I mean, Butterfinger tastes like you're eating something from, like, a previous apocalypse.
No matter what
Milky Way
Butterfinger.
Is just a peasant's,
in the division.
Milky Way is just a peasant's version of the Snickers bar with no peanuts in it.
That's right.
I don't like peanuts. I don't like peanuts.
Who even eats Milky Way?
No accounting
these
for taste.
Days?
I didn't even know they sold
Way
them anymore.
A long
I thought
time.
They shipped them all off to communist Russia.
Y'all are like, y'all,
Briar, you and
lost
I.
The y'all lost the Planet Destiny challenge today from, you know, going up against the Dream Team. None of you like Milky Way bars.
At least we tried. At least
some
we
bullshit.
Tried.
Yeah. Some bullshit.
You're like that guy in Braveheart, where you know, Braveheart's expecting that, you know, those clan mates to show up and fight. And you're up on the ridge, and then you just turn around and walk away. You're like those guys.
Hey, I knew you guys had it.
You know what? I stand by Reese's peanut butter cup. I don't care if it's not a bar.
You refuse to be argued away from the cup.
100%. I'll get the king size with the quad, and I'll eat all four of them because they're delicious.
I really like Paydays. Paydays are, I think, my favorite.
Nice.
Matthew Johnson at Mr. Johnson Design. On the theme of sound, would you like your guardian to talk more in patrols? If so, what would they say after a headshot?
No.
God damn.
Yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker. They would just pull one-liners out of 80s action movies.
That's right.
That's all
I know what you're thinking, punk.
Does he have field scout on that sniper rifle?
I know what you're thinking, punk. Do I have an icebreaker?
I would mind saying, no, that's some Pope Bear RNG. Mm-hmm.
You should be able to get voice packs a la Call of Duty. You know, you get Morgan Freeman to be your character, and just talk it out. You know,
Snoop Dogg,
uh-huh. Of course, you'd have to.
How about Tyrion Lannister? Oh, wait.
Tyrion Lannister.
I like how you brought it all back around. Yeah. That was great. Billy Manziel at Billy Manziel. Any thoughts about the fall DLC being the start of year 3? And technically, that's true. You know, like year 3 is going to start before Destiny 2.
That is technically correct. The best type of correct. So, yeah. Was there a question there?
What are your thoughts?
What are my thoughts on it being the start of year 3?
Yeah.
I think, yes, that is a full year. That's how years work. I'm failing to understand the question.
Well, I think many of us would have suspected that Destiny 2 would mark the start of year 3. At this point, it may mark the start of year 4. Pushing Destiny for a full 3 years, I think, is, well, frankly, pushing it in a lot of players' minds. you know, it's something to think about. I think, you know, we're all pretty deeply in love with the game. We're going to put up with a lot of it, but it is disappointing that, you know, a DLC is going to mark year three. Paul
yeah,
D'Angelo.
I wish I could say, no, I just wanted to toss a little shade back there that you're right.
I was trying to cut that off.
That's all right. No,
you're right.
You left it.
Pope's absolutely right. If only I could have, you know, helped him embrace his true powers, and I was given an opening for him to reach the pinnacle of comeback.
Right,
and he didn't clench the Grail. I did my job and sandbagged for the Dream Team. No, I'm just kidding. I didn't.
Your motivations are
No, he just admitted it, Briar. Did you hear that?
He just admitted it. What we feared last week.
No, Briar, he legit, threw the game. So he couldn't hit anything with the sword hilts.
If you heard...
No, I have footage of that. You will see.
You would be damn well positive that he did not throw that game.
I know.
You don't think? You don't think I'm a good actor?
That was
real visceral anger. You were kicking people from the chat left and right.
You should have eaten one of those Snickers bars that you're so fond of.
Dude, if you were experiencing what I was experiencing, you would have been salty over that match.
Dude, you got outplayed, bro.
Like, the reticle was red. The reticle was red. I'd hit it, and there would be no damage registered. It was driving me crazy.
Can you do a video of it? I want to see.
No, I have it all recorded.
I want to see it. I want to demonstrate it.
Unfortunately, we're going to see it in the next Dream Team video.
Mm-hmm.
Paul D'Angelo at Try Paul D. Is Grasp of Malak worth the grind of never getting it? What do you guys think? I know you have it, Patrick. I have it. Anybody else got it? Pope, of course, has it, right?
You have to put in so much time to get a possible good role.
Pope, it's a podcast. Stop reading chat.
it's for like the player who, you know, puts a lot of time into the game and they want like that really solid pulse rifle that can do really good work. Yes, it is worth it. But the amount of time that the average person that has a good role has to put into it, it's stupid. Like triple.
You don't even really need a perfect role though. If you get a somewhat decent role, it still performs in the Crucible. You know, it's a damn good pulse rifle. It takes a little getting used to because you have to fire it so damn fast that accuracy can be a bit of an issue. But it does have a fast time to kill, and that's what you're looking for in the Crucible.
I would like it.
I would say it's worth it.
I would like it more if I had. To be honest with you, like trigger stops on the PlayStation controller. I feel like I feel like the controller itself doesn't lend itself well to a high fire rate pulse rifle because there's so much. It feels like the controller is inconsistent when it activates. And to sit there and feather your finger at the point where it activates, it would be a lot better if the controller itself had more tools to be able to control that. But
that Battle Beaver Customs, man. And get trigger stops.
Yeah, trigger stops would be very valuable.
Can you switch so the R1 button is your trigger in this game? I've never actually looked.
Yeah, you can. Yeah. You can also, in the PlayStation settings, what a lot of people do is to make the analog sticks, like the R2 and L2, digital instead of like more analog inputs. You swap R1 with R2, and then in the game flip them. And it will, it turns it into all digital inputs by doing that. It's really weird, but it works.
Bad for a racing game, good for a shooter.
Yep, probably.
And it's funny, on the PlayStation 3, I feel like every game used the R1 and R2 instead of the R1 and L1 instead of the triggers. But they seem to have switched on the PS4. Now every game uses the triggers. Chris Arkham at Shizzy161. Opinion on the current availability of currencies and materials, too easy or too hard to get? Personally, I think it's fine. I think it's about right, too. I would like more weapons.
Yeah, it's not so much the currency, it's just the damn weapons. Make them drop more. I'm tired. You know what a currency is? Legendary weapon engrams. Make those drop more. It's like a 10% chance compared to the armor piece is 90%. That's what it feels like, at least.
Yeah. After 6 months, too, you're kind of bored with buying them from the vendors. And then the ones that are somewhat interesting.
And then you get really frustrated when the vendor doesn't have that special weapon engram that you want to buy. Yeah, it's really frustrating.
It just feels like the... it honestly feels like the faction vendors should have, you know, the gunsmith type, you know, packages where you can get faction rewards and they re-rolled those. And it just, I don't like the way that we have the selection we have of the weapons that we're using right now. It would be it would be much better if we got to see a more variety or more of a refresh here, and instead of we're sitting there looking at the same stuff.
I am totally ready for a refresh. Like, I just want to see all new stuff.
Yep. It should happen every week with the Arms Day stuff. And then just
2 weeks.
Every
2 weeks.
2 weeks.
And yeah, every week would be rough.
Well, you need every 2 weeks in case, like, you know, you have to be able to, you know, get your legendary marks up quicker. And not a lot of players are able to farm it like, you know, some of us are.
See? Always think about the average player.
Yeah.
Andrew Calhoun at 70Cal89. You think the expansion model seen in Destiny and The Division will be the future model of selling games?
No.
I do. I think it's become so expensive to develop games that they need to have a tail end for these things. They need to be able to develop expansions cheaper than developing a full game and sell them to justify having these huge teams spending, you know, $100 million, $200 million developing a game. Well, $60 price point has not moved in 30 years.
When you say if it's going to be the future, it already is the present, really, when you look at it too. Point. Like, I mean, ever since what, 2008, I want to say, like, it's been less. You know, you don't just buy the game and you're done anymore. There's going to be DLCs coming out. There's going to be a Game of the Year edition coming out. There's going to be microtransactions. Like, that's slowly become what it is today. Now, the only time that you ever get a game that's like, you buy it, you're done. It's like in most indie games. And even some indie games are, you know, starting to have more microtransactions and some, you know, stuff like that too now.
Yep. There's actually one exception right now, which is really unusual. Far Cry Primal does not have a season pass.
Far Cry Primal should have just...
Some would say it's an expansion of Far Cry 4, though.
It basically is.
That's true. No, well, I mean, no, it's completely different art assets.
I know.
Yeah, the landscape is supposedly ripped from Far Cry 4, but it is weird that Ubisoft did not do a season pass. Yeah.
My thought behind the season pass thing is, I don't know how confident they were of Far Cry Primal, compared. It's I don't know. You could have just not named it Far Cry. You could have named it some other thing, and people would have been like, okay, cool. It feels like they just kind of slapped the Far Cry namesake on it to sell the game.
You haven't played it yet, have you?
I have not played it yet at all.
It's very Far Cry-ish.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, it's like you play it and you're like, oh, this is obviously a Far Cry game.
Okay.
But yeah, actually, you know, what they did with Far Cry 3 was they had, what was it called?
Dragon, it was something.
Yeah, it was like an 80s retro expansion.
Blood Dragon. From what I've heard.
You are right.
Yeah.
This actually does feel like Far Cry 4's Blood Dragon.
Yeah.
Repackaged as a full game. That's but it's like, it's meaty. You know, it's a meaty game, so.
I've yet to play it. I have no desire to play it either, so, yeah.
I still have Far Cry 4 unopened in the box. Sad. I just haven't gotten a chance to play it. Andrew Calhoun at 70... Oh, wait, just read that one. Hella Average Gamer at and194_. Completing the weekly PvP bounties gives... Oh, I'm sorry. I read the second part first. What if completing the Nightfall gives blue glowy head again, and completing the weekly PvP bounties gives a red glowy head?
Would completing both of them give a purple glowy head?
No, it would negate both, and you would start over again.
Okay.
Pick a side, dude.
red versus blue? Or really back to red versus blue?
That would make for good machinima.
Yeah, gonna have to side with the reds. Side with the reds on this one.
I don't know why they got rid of that from the Nightfalls. It's like it was a nice little reward, you know? After you beat the Nightfall, you get to run around with the little glowy head. Why would they take something like that away? It seems weird.
I couldn't, I can't remember what their reasoning was for it, but whatever.
Okay.
Was that it?
I guess we don't care.
Yeah, I mean, I don't.
Yeah, it's. I feel like I've moved on from.
It's like glowy glowy head, nice, but cool. You know what I'd really like for the rewards, for the actual experience of going through a Nightfall that has, you know, chaff airborne, or chaff grounded, and then ultra shielded enemies to maybe be worth a damn.
Well, you know, in my opinion, if they had kept the Nightfalls more difficult, that, you know, and that you could die and it would wipe you and it was worth something, then the glowing head was awesome, right? It indicated that you were capable of doing a challenge. But at its current state, I mean, the glowing head for the Nightfalls now is like, okay.
The fact that you don't wipe,
yeah,
to the beginning of the thing,
that doesn't,
it really hurts the night.
Right, it makes it a lot of the challenge. It makes it not as prestigious, I think. So,
I would agree.
I know.
Although I got to say that the saber strike, that beginning of the saber strike this week, that was tough.
Yeah, fuck that. This might be the first week that I just don't do the Nightfall because, well, I think I have enough, like, level 275 legendary boots. I think I have enough of those.
Well, I did two Nightfalls last week, and both of them dropped a 1,000-yard stare. You should really do it.
I'm going to go get some more water. I'm gone. Later.
Jacob Dowell at JD from the IE.
Now, that's not a joke. I mean, that's literally, like, both Nightfalls dropped me a 1,000-yard stare.
You know what's funny? The real joke is that I was not laughing because I knew it was true.
Of course it was true. It's Pope RNG.
Yeah.
It's a goddamn legend.
It's a goddamn legend. It's a burden, really.
It's the saltiest legend.
It's a burden. It's hard on me sometimes.
Yeah, it sounds awful.
I bet it's hard. Hard like that cherry said no.
Hard like the hilt of my sword.
Oh, you better watch out, Pope. Better watch out.
Do you think Destiny could implement a system similar to the Division's upcoming post-raid loot trading?
I
don't think trading would be good in this game. If it is, it's like it's got to be very limited. Like you said, at the Nightfall reward screen or maybe when drops happen in a raid, like you could trade then right there. But it's got to be limited.
Yeah, it definitely has to be limited.
Otherwise, Pope Bear opens up like an eBay shop and starts charging for all his 1,000-yard stairs.
Hey, I got to pay for...
There's going to be child labor camps in China just running through raids.
Oh, man. I mean, I could be like, I could be in the tower going, and you get a sniper, and you get a sniper, and you get a sniper. I'll just drop into the tower and give everybody in the tower a sniper. I'd just be like, everybody gets a sniper, you know.
Keith Brewster at Alinicky 26. Do any of you use Scuf Elite controllers? And what's your button paddle layout? So I picked this out because I know that Tefty just recently got both an Elite controller and a Scuf controller. He got the Scuf controller on his PS4 and his Elite controller on his Xbox One. So I was kind of interested in what you've been thinking about those controllers. I just got a Scuf on my
love
PS4
them.
As well.
Oh my God, I love them. I beat Lawrence on Bloodborne using my Scuf controller. So my dodging, I'll show it on the camera. I got a red one just in case I didn't like it and wanted to give it to memes. Like dodging in Bloodborne with a Scuf controller was awesome. Once I got used to it, I use the regular XO buttons. And for PvP, it's fantastic. Like being able to jump and aim at the same time.
That's the key.
Like Twilight Garrison with the Scuf. Oh my God. Or the Elite controller. The Elite controller is definitely better build quality and it's cheaper. $150, you get an insane amount of control and the build quality is 10 times better than the standard controllers, and the actual paddles are very responsive and all that. You can easily take them off. In fact, I got it right here. This Elite controller, these paddles just pop right off. Like, I feel like I'm an advertisement for them, but like, they're fantastic. I love it. And that plugs into a Windows 10 system also, so you can play them with PC games. It's been great. Like, I now don't want to pick up a controller without the paddles. I love them.
In Destiny, being able to jump and shoot at the same time, being able to jump and aim, I'm sorry, at the same time without having to move your thumb from the X button to the right thumbstick, it's a huge advantage.
Yeah, it is. Is it going to make your KD go up to 6.0? No.
No.
No. You still have to shoot people. It doesn't auto-aim for you. I love my stuff.
Improve your KD, though, frankly.
Yeah, it allows you to do some play styles better. I enjoy it. As far as the original question, what do you have them set to? Right paddle is set to jump. Left paddle is set to crouch or circle. So.
And for me, mine is jump, and I really like this left paddle to be switching my guns. So...
Triangle.
Yep. So I have a triangle, and I have all the movements on these fingers, but this and switching guns right here allows me to be really responsive in PvP with moving, you know, popping out with a sniper, shooting, and if I get a body, I immediately come out with my gun and come at him.
I grew up with scuff on Call of Duty, so my left stick is jump and my left paddle is jump and my right paddle is melee. It's funny that we all had a different answer for that. I'm surprised.
Yeah. I like the jump and the crouch on it.
Tefty, which one do you use for a melee?
Right button.
With R1. Sword hilt melee? How is that done?
Cade Turner at CadeHD, which one of you is really Amanda Holiday's girlfriend? The people need to know.
You mean which one of us is Amanda Holiday's boyfriend? Yeah, I know. I'm just a little confused on the question, as I'm the only one with long enough hair that can be confused for a woman.
No, I think she's a strong enough personality that you could be her woman.
Yeah, I mean, I'm down. Whatever. Mm-hmm. I'll be the girlfriend. Whatever.
That's the first thing you volunteered for all day.
Oh, good.
Peter Gee at Peter Gee 56.
That was nice.
What's the best way to deal with saltiness over your buddy's god tier RNG? I feel like we've got a lot of experience with this.
Yeah. I don't know.
Okay, here's what you want to do. You want to take all that salt that's building up inside you, and then you want to, just bottle it up. Keep filling up until the bottle is completely full, and you just compress it, and then it's like when you're filling up a bag of leaves, and then you're like, oh, there's not enough space. Oh wait, and you just compress it down. It's like, oh, there's plenty of space now, and you just keep filling up this jar of salt until it's ready to explode, and then one day, someone's gonna nudge that little jar of salt just in the right way that it completely explodes everywhere, and covers Pope's RNG in a barren field of salt so that no new drops may ever grow. And he will once again be put on the plane of mortals with our poor RNG. He will no longer be favored by the gods.
So what you're saying is the problem is Pope's nutrient-rich topsoil.
Yes.
Needs to be purged.
Yes. Yep.
Excellent. Excellent. We'll get right on that.
Slash and burn. At Peter Gee 56. What's the best way to deal with salt? Oh, I just read this one. Davis Benson at one of many 713. Since the sounds of Destiny stream was today, what is your favorite sound or atmospheric element in Destiny?
Firing hereafter has this wonderful, wonderful noise associated with it where, you get your original shot off, but then like it feels like there's this giant, generator or something that's spinning down and powering down after every shot. It's a wonderful, wonderful, sound design on that gun. I just wish the sights were better so I could actually use the damn thing.
One of my favorite sounds is something recent, and it's I think it's the void. I'm pretty sure it's the void sparrow. It has
very the Jade Rabbit Sparrow.
The Jade Rabbit. Is it the Jade Rabbit?
It has the one with the
it looks like a ball, a void ball.
Yeah, it's the void one. The void Jade Rabbit one.
It's when you're boosting with it and you're moving around, it's just like this. And if you have like really good headphones, you know, that you're listening to the game with and it's in surround sound, like these here are just phenomenal for that. When you're playing the game and it has this rich sound. The audio. I would love to have heard how they got the sounds for the sparrows.
Yeah, I swear the sounds for the Ark Sparrow are like a tiger or something. It sounds animalistic if you have a good pair of headphones. It's like there's this deep growling going on for the Ark one.
For me, it's always been about the music. The music is just beyond what you could expect from a video game in so many ways.
But you said sound element, so...
That's a sound element. Music is a sound element.
The score.
Yeah, I mean, if you looked at the stream today, I never realized how much shit is in the sound development department because you're I mean, it's just playing music and playing sounds. I forgot that there's this whole mixing element that goes, well, what if all the sounds are going on at the same time? And, like, it just gets overwhelming. And, you know, maybe the music makes it so I can't hear any information or some elements are too loud. Daughter's screaming in the Oryx fight.
Omnigul screams.
Omnigul screams.
Oh, silence him screams.
Please.
Yeah. Yeah, it's funny. The music for me also, because I stream the game more often than not, I almost always have the music turned off. So when I do have a chance to turn it back on, I'm sitting in orbit or loading up the title screen, and then the epic horns come in. Like you hear these French horns, and it's like it's really well done. It sparks a lot of emotions, and yeah, I have it brings back all these emotions I had from year one and like learning to make videos in the game. And
I wish we could choose which starting screen that we have in the game, so we could choose different music. They let us do that in World of Warcraft. Had to get that reference in the game.
Yeah, there we go. Hour 53. Yeah, wow. Yeah, people were worried. People were getting worried.
Yeah, there was a little.
Hour 55.
Do you guys remember the first time you went to Mars in Vanilla Destiny and you heard that Cabal stomp and like the Cabal started dropping from the sky? Basically,
that was cool.
I'll never forget that moment. Like that piece of music was amazing. It's just the moment
can we,
is just so perfect.
Can we ask the counterpoint to that question?
Yeah.
Your least favorite sound element?
It's Omnigul screaming.
Yeah.
Omnigul.
My least favorite sound element that I ever hear is going to the tower, walking up to the Cryptarch, and then hearing Pope go, "Hey, Pat, look what I just got." Yeah, that's... Bungie needs to, you know, isolate Pope's voice and whenever he says, "Hey, look what I just got," like it just mutes it. It just preemptively mutes it, and then he can't talk for like five more minutes. Mm. Yeah. That's least favorite sound design element in the game.
Hold on. Pope, let me RNG. Let me go into my friends list real quick and unfriend him.
Okay, there you go.
Hey, so my least favorite sound is the sound of the thorn poison ticking away.
Oh god. Yeah.
That has a visceral response in me. Like it's the sound of like, it's just,
It was annoying. Omnigul is still awful.
I like that gun. I think it's such a cool gun. I love the lore behind it. It just sucks that it's so overused.
Yep.
Havoc at Arbenheart 84. We haven't heard from Verix in a while. Is it possible we can get that from Holtz?
I apologize. I'm still mourning for my queen. It was nice to see her once again today, though, in Bungie's stream. We'll miss her dearly, though. Must make return.
That could do it for you? Is that good? Okay.
Excellent.
Yes.
Nomas Pantalonis. At J-Dub Destiny.
No more pants?
Do you think Destiny 2 will live up to everybody's expectations? God, no.
Destiny will never live up to any expectations that anyone has set for it because
Everybody wants this game to be everything.
Yeah, everyone. I mean, people want space battles. They want sparrow racing. They want crafting systems. They want all this stuff. And look, I just enjoy it. I enjoy what we have. I think it can still be improved upon. But
yeah.
As far as what Destiny 2 is, I mean,
it's not going to be all things to all people ever.
No. No.
There's always going to be somebody in Destiny's, in Bungie's forums getting salty over something. This is a great name. Beatings by Chris at Mr. Scromsby. I didn't know anyone that goes to at Waffle House for the waffles.
Then you don't know anyone. The hell's wrong with you? Jesus.
What the fuck are you going to the Waffle House for? Like, if it's not for the waffles.
You go to Waffle House for...
What's going on over there?
If you're not going to Waffle House for the waffles, you go to Waffle House for the patty melt and the free coffee.
Like, there you go. Is it like a front for free coffee like a cocaine warehouse? It's free coffee refills. Or a whorehouse or something? What's going on?
Dude, Waffle House is... If you're wondering why I call my stream the Waffle House, I've explained this before. But only in my stream. The Waffle House is like a perfect representation of what I want my stream to be. No matter who you are, no matter what your state of being is, you can come in and find something that you'll probably enjoy, whether it be the company of people in the chat, watching, you know, the chef work, doing whatever. I mean, sure, if you're a loud asshole and you come in, you're going to get kicked out like everyone else in the Waffle House. But, you know, if you're just chill, you want to have a fun time, you go to Waffle House. Or if you're just drunk as shit, you know, you go to Waffle House too. I mean, that works. I'm not gonna fault you for that.
Is there any gluten-free waffle?
I've never been to the Waffle House.
Everybody can find something at the Waffle House that they want,
except for Tefty.
Listen, there's a waffle place in Hollywood, and I know I'm referencing Hollywood, so it's even worse. But there's a place on Vine and Sun.
It's the chicken Sunset. And waffles place.
No, not that place. That's not gluten-free. But there's a place called The Waffle, literally on Vine and Sunset, and it has gluten-free waffles that are delicious. So
I see a question in chat. Hey, Holtzman, is the Waffle House worth driving 70 miles for, about an hour away? Here's what I want you to do. Okay, I want you and then three buddies math. You need a designated driver for this. I want you to get shit-faced, if you're old enough to get shit-faced. I'm not advocating underage drinking, but if you are of legal age to get shit-faced, do it. Go to Waffle House. It will be the greatest experience ever. And then, once again, when you're sober, go to the Waffle House with those same three friends.
And you'll understand why you shouldn't drink anymore.
A little bit, hey, but also Waffle House is fucking awesome. Your zingers today are on point,
Briar.
Yeah, on fire.
Yeah.
Well, this was the 61st Planet Destiny podcast and the first Planet Division podcast as well. You always know where to find us at planetdestiny.com. We do Destiny stuff. I'm Holtzman or Patrick, whatever you want to call me. I'm failing at this one this week. Whatever, take it over, whoever's next.
I'm Briar Rabbit. You can find me on the Briar Rabbit channel on YouTube. Just hit 70,000 subscribers. I'm actually really excited about that. You can find me streaming for Planet Destiny on the Planet Destiny Twitch channel right here, or streaming on my own channel on off days, or hit me up on Twitter at the Briar Rabbit.
And I'm Tefty Teft. You can talk to me at Teft on Twitter. You can check out my streams I do for Planet Destiny on Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday nights, and check out my personal Twitch channel, twitch.tv/TeftyTeft. And I might be posting some Division Let's Play gameplay on my personal YouTube. Maybe. We'll see. Anyways.
And this has been Pope Bear. You can always follow me on Twitter at Pope Bear, and also streaming occasionally on the Planet Destiny Twitch stream. I also wanted to announce that we're going to be taking part in a couple charity live streams coming up. So stay tuned. The information will be coming out where you can come and watch us and help raise money for a good cause. So there'll be more information coming out. I just wanted to let you guys know that. Keep an eye out and make sure to stop by.